You want to turn back in that passage that we read earlier, John chapter 14. Just a little phrase at the end of verse 21 that I want us to center our thoughts upon this morning for this time, where Christ gives this wonderful promise to his disciples, saying that I will manifest myself to him. I will manifest myself to him. Let's just bow again for a word of prayer. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us through his word this morning. Lord, we thank thee once again for thy precious truth. We thank thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have of being able to not only hold the word of God in our hands today, but to be able to read it, to meditate upon it, and to know thee speaking through its pages to our hearts. Lord, we ask thee to shut us in with thyself just now. Help us to shut out the distracting thoughts, the things that would come against us. I ask, O God, that thou wouldst draw near to us. I pray for a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost upon me. Take these lips of clay and speak through them today. Take these precious truths, this precious promise that thou hast given to thy people. Make it real to us today, and may it be our experience. Lord, we ask thee to draw near to us now and have thy way amongst us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapters 14 through to 16 are known as the Upper Room Discourse. And in this discourse, Christ is seeking to comfort and encourage his disciples. They had just heard him talking earlier about himself as the corn of wheat that would fall into the ground and die. They had heard him saying, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." He had just said to them, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and as he said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come." Hearing Christ saying these words filled the disciples with anxiety and with concern. The one that they had been with for 3 years, seeing his miracles, listening to his teaching, always there to help and comfort and encourage them, now talking about suffering and dying and going away, and where he was going, they couldn't come with him. This was more than his disciples could bear. But Christ knows exactly how they feel. And so he gives them this discourse here in these chapters to seek to comfort and encourage their hearts. And here in chapter 14, it tells them many things by way of encouragement. He assures them that he is going to his Father's house, and that when he went there, he would prepare a place for them. And when he had those preparations made, he would come again and receive them unto himself, take them to be there with him. He tells them that he had opened up the way for them, and that they now knew that way. He would enable them to do greater works than his. He assures them that whatever they needed to do what he had called them to do, if they simply asked in his name, they would receive it. He tells them that a divine person would be sent in his place that would instruct and comfort and protect and console them. And he assures them that they would not be left as orphans. Wonderful words of comfort and encouragement to his disciples. But in this verse 21, at the very end of the verse, he promises his disciples something very wonderful here. He promises them that to those who keep his commandments, he will manifest himself to them. He will manifest himself to them. But folks, what a promise this really is. We are beyond the realm of mere theory here to the realm of living felt experience. This is the New Testament standard of what we ought to be experiencing as the people of God. How miserably far short I believe we fall in our Christian lives and in our Christian experience of what Christ offers to us. Do we know anything about Christ manifesting himself to us? You know, we can dot all our I's and cross all our T's in so many areas and so many things. We can go through all the form of coming to church, saying our prayers, reading our Bibles. But in it all, do we know anything of Christ manifesting himself to us. Folks, this is what he has promised us. And how easy it is to get into a rut in the Christian life of doing the things that we're supposed to do. But in it all, do we know anything? Do our hearts long that Christ would manifest and reveal himself to us, that we might know him and know his presence in a deep and intimate way? Three things I want us just to consider together here in regard to this wonderful promise of Christ manifesting himself to us. Firstly, how does Christ manifest himself to us? This promise of Christ to manifest himself to us is, of course, not a promise to manifest himself to us in a physical sense. Christ, the Word made flesh, is no longer here amongst us. He can no longer say to us, like he said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side." No, Christ is no longer here physically with us. We can no longer see him with the physical eye. You know, great excitement has often been produced in certain circles whenever a statue of Christ alleges to have moved. As recently as last year, it is reported that it's alleged that a statue of Christ in Mexico opened its eyes long enough to be caught on camera. Know the foolishness of the human heart to get excited at what is falsely claimed to be a physical manifestation of Christ. Christ no longer reveals himself to us in a physical sense, nor does he need to. Neither is this promise of Christ to manifest himself to us done through visions or dreams. We can think of Jacob's dream there at Bethel, where he saw that ladder set up upon the earth, reaching right up to heaven itself. The angels of God ascending and descending upon it. Wonderful picture of Christ bridging the gulf between man and himself through Christ. We can think of Isaiah's wonderful vision there in the temple when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, his train filling the temple. He heard the angels crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." What a marvelous vision that was. We can think of Christ manifesting himself to the Apostle John through visions there in the Isle of Patmos, seeing Christ with that garment clothed down to his feet, girt about his paps with a golden girdle, and his head and his hair as white as wool. Again, a wonderful manifestation of Christ to the Apostle there. But this promise that Christ gives us here to manifest himself to us is not done through visions or dreams. So if this manifestation of Christ is not a physical manifestation, if it's not done through visions or dreams, then how does Christ manifest himself to us as his people? How does he fulfill this wonderful promise that he's given us here? This promise of Christ to manifest himself to us is a spiritual manifestation of himself to our souls. It's a conscious reality in the depth of our beings of the nearness of Christ. It's where Christ is made real to our souls. This can be done in various ways. This can be experienced by various means. It can happen as you're reading the scriptures. Perhaps you're reading a passage of scripture that you're very familiar with. You know all the facts. Perhaps one of the accounts of the crucifixion of Christ, and you can recount all the facts. You know it off by heart. You learned it in Sunday school. But suddenly, as you're reading that passage, as you're reading that account, it becomes alive to your soul. Christ, as it were, manifests himself to you, and you can almost see him there with your physical eye as he hangs upon the cross, as he suffers the awful, shameful, cruel death of the cross. Suddenly it just becomes real to your soul. Folks, that's Christ manifesting himself to you. Or it can happen around the Lord's table. You know, sometimes around the Lord's table it can become such a form, can't it? But all those times when Christ draws near, as you take the emblems, as you contemplate the sufferings, the physical sufferings of Christ, his body broken, his blood shed, Oh, when Christ manifests himself to you around his table, suddenly the sufferings of Christ that he endured for you, they become so real to your soul. You can see him there, hanging, suffering, dying in your place. You can see his precious blood flowing from his head, from his hands, from his feet. You can see it with the eye of your soul. You know it's real. You know that he did that for you. That's Christ manifesting himself to you. Or it could happen in a church service. As the preacher is preaching, as he's speaking of Christ. Oh, Christ can manifest himself not only to the preacher, but also to the congregation, where what the preacher is saying suddenly becomes real. Where you're moved in the very depth of your being, perhaps moved to the point of tears, as Christ reveals and manifests himself to you. It can happen also as you're seeking to worship the Lord in your quiet time. You're seeking to worship him, seeking to praise him, and suddenly you find your heart just drawn out after him in worship. Suddenly the goodness and the love and the mercy of Christ just becomes real to your soul. You just find your heart being drawn out after him. It can happen also in a time of suffering or trial that you're going through. Perhaps you're laid up on your back on a sick bed. Your thoughts are no longer on your work and other things of life, but you're suddenly taken up with your sickness or your suffering. In that time, Christ can draw near and manifest his presence, where you suddenly become aware that he is there, right with you, that his promise is real, that I will never leave you or forsake you. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Suddenly that promise becomes real to your soul as you're going through that trial, that sickness, or whatever it may be. Folks, many great servants of God can also testify on their deathbed to a manifestation of Christ to them. Think of the Apostle Stephen. Stephen, as he was dying, was able to look up, said, I see the Son of God. He could see Christ, not in a physical sense, not with his physical eye, but all Christ was manifesting himself to Stephen in that hour of trial as he was facing death itself. And how many of God's people can testify to that? Christ manifesting himself to them as they were going through the valley of the shadow of death and right into death itself. Folks, this is a promise that Christ has given to us as the church. And I wonder, do we know anything? Do we know anything in our Christian life and experience of Christ manifesting himself to us? Folks, if we don't know something of this, if all that I'm saying here is foreign to you, and friend, you're not experiencing New Testament Christianity. This is the life that Christ offers to us. Do we know anything of Christ manifesting himself to us? Or are we just content to go through all the form? You know, many Christians live a tick-the-box Christianity. I've been to church today, tick that box. I've been to the prayer meeting, I've prayed a prayer, tick that box. I've even been to the open air, tick that box. We can tick all our boxes and we can feel good about all the little things we have done. But oh, in it all, do we know anything of Christ manifesting himself to us? Is Christ real to us in it all? D.L. Moody was a great evangelist, mightily used of God. Led many souls to Christ. One day, D.L. Moody was walking down Wall Street in New York City. He says that suddenly God revealed and manifested himself to him. Revealed his glory to him in an intimate way. Now, Moody was being used of God, remember? He was a mighty servant of God. But here was an experience that day that he had never known before. Christ manifesting, revealing himself to him in a deep and an intimate way. He says that the experience was so powerful that he had to turn aside into a hotel to ask for a room to be alone. And he says the experience was so overwhelming that he had to ask God to withdraw his hand from him in case this experience crushed him. So real and so powerful was Christ as he revealed himself to Moody that day. Folks, this is New Testament Christianity. We claim to be a New Testament church. We claim to be New Testament Christians. But do we know anything of this in experience? Read through your church history. Read of the lives of great servants of God. You will find over and over again they testify to experiences of Christ manifesting himself to them. Isaac Watts relates an experience in the life of one of the great Puritans by the name of John Flavel. And this is what he says. There, going on his way, his thoughts began to swell and rise higher and higher like the waters in Ezekiel's vision, till at last they became an overwhelming flood. Such was the ravishing taste of heavenly joys, and such the full assurance of his interest therein, that he utterly lost all sight and sense of the world and all of the concerns thereof. On reaching his inn, the influence still continued, banishing sleep. Still the joy of the Lord overflowed him, and he seemed to be an inhabitant of the other world. He many years after that called that day one of the days of heaven, and professed that he understood more of the life of heaven by it than by all the books he ever read about it. Folks, that is Christ manifesting himself to one of his people. This is what happens during revivals. Jonathan Edwards, greatly used of God in the 1800s, in 1700s, in revival in New England. And he relates this experience. He says, one day, as I rode out into the woods for my health in 1737, having alighted from my horse to walk for divine contemplation and prayer, I had a view that for me was extraordinary of the glory of the Son of God as mediator between God and man, and his wonderful, great, full, pure, sweet grace and love and meek and gentle condescension. The person of Christ appeared ineffably excellent, which kept me the greater part of the time in a flood of tears and weeping aloud. I felt emptied and annihilated, to lie in the dust and to be filled with Christ alone, to love him with a holy and a pure love, to look upon him, to serve him, and to follow him, and to be made pure with a divine and heavenly purity. Folks, this is what happens during revival. Christ draws near to his people. They get beyond the humdrum of the ordinary, going through the rut. And Christ manifests and reveals himself to his people and makes himself real to them. The church is so healthy today. We're so self-confident. We have it all together. We don't need anything. We're doing great. We're like the Laodicean church. We say, I am rich and increased with goods, and in need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Starve for a manifestation of Christ to her. That's what the church is experiencing today. Moses, in his desire to know God, prayed these words. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Moses was a great servant of God. God had mightily used him, delivered his people from the land of Egypt, seeing those signs and wonders there that seen the people led out of Egypt. He had saw them led through the wilderness and God wonderfully providing for them. All of those are wonderful things that Moses had saw accomplished under God. But you know, Moses come to the point where he wasn't content just to have experienced those things. He wanted something more intimate, something more of God that was more real. And so he prayed and cried to God, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Manifest thyself and thy glory to me. This is an intimate, personal experience that Moses is crying to God for and longing for. We're so self-sufficient today. We don't need this manifestation of Christ to us. We can get on with the things that we're doing, and we don't really need this manifestation of Christ to us. Oh, may God bring us to the point where above everything else, we long that in all our service for God, we might know this personal, intimate experience of Christ manifesting himself to us. Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones advocated that revival really is God doing for a whole group of believers what he can do for an individual believer. And I believe that this manifestation of Christ, this promise of Christ to us here, can be experienced by us on an individual level, even at a time when the church is not experiencing revival as a whole. This is what Christ has promised to us, folks. This is New Testament Christianity, and may we seek it above everything else. So how does Christ manifest himself to us? But secondly, the effects of Christ's manifestation to us. What are some of the effects of Christ manifesting himself to us? Well, firstly, the first effect of Christ manifesting himself to us is that he becomes a glorious reality to us and to our souls. We are taken beyond the realm of merely knowing him intellectually, knowing about him in our heads, to where he becomes a living reality to us. Job said in Job 42 and verse 5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. With the eye of the heart, we can see him. It's not a mere hearing about him in sermons and through the reading of the scriptures. It's where he becomes a blessed, glorious reality to our hearts. And when Christ becomes a living, blessed reality to our hearts, we can cry out with the psalmist, thou art fairer than the children of men. Thou art more precious to me. You mean more to me than all the world put together. Another effect of Christ manifesting himself to us is that it assures us of his favor and his love. Gives us an assurance in our hearts that we're in his favor and that we're in his love. This experience of Christ manifesting himself to us gives us a higher form of assurance than merely reasoning from the scriptures. There are different levels, I believe, of assurance for us as the people of God. And we ought to be knowing each one of them. One is we can reason from the scriptures. For example, whenever the scripture says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, we can be assured that because we have personally placed our faith and trust in Christ, therefore we are saved. We have everlasting life. We can reason that out. We don't have to feel anything, no feelings involved. We just simply encourage our hearts and be assured that because we have placed our faith and trust in Christ, we have everlasting life. But there is a higher form of assurance than that available for us as the people of God, and it does involve the heart and the feelings. Now, we must be careful in the whole area of feelings and emotions. In certain circles, emphasis is put too much upon the emotions, upon the feelings, and extremes can be went to in this matter. But we must not, in condemning the extremes, throw out the baby with the bathwater, as it were. We must realize that our feelings, our hearts, are involved in our Christian experience. God made us like that. He made us as emotional beings. And we ought to know something in our Christian lives of emotion and of feelings. And when Christ manifests himself to us, as he promised here, it gives us an assurance within our hearts that we are his children, that we are in his favor. Paul talked in Romans chapter 8 about the Spirit witnessing with our spirits that we are the children of God. 1 John 3:19 says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. We can have our hearts, our feelings, it can be assured. You know, there's no greater experience on earth, folks, than the experience of having Christ manifest himself to you, where he becomes so real to your heart that you know in the depth of your being, in your heart of hearts, that you're his, that you're his child, that you belong to him, that you're in his favor. Folks, this gives us great confidence to live the Christian life, to serve the Lord wholeheartedly, to be able to say, my beloved is mine, and I am his. The hymn "Loved with Everlasting Words," "Loved with Everlasting Love," has these words in one of the verses. It says, "Closed in everlasting arms, pillowed on the loving breast. Oh, to lie forever here, doubt and care and self-resign, while he whispers in my ear, I am his and he is mine, his forever, only his, who the Lord and me shall part. Ah, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. This is a result, folks, of Christ manifesting himself to us. One thing I love about these old hymns is that they were written out of deep experience of God. Deep experience of God. The writer of that hymn knew something of Christ manifesting himself to him, where he could say, ah, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. Another effect of Christ manifesting himself to us is that it gives us support in the trials of life. You know, the trials of life that we are called upon to go through are many and they're varied. And some have deep trials to go through that there's no human explanation for. Don't try to give a human explanation for some of the sufferings that some of God's people have to go through at certain times. There is no human explanation. There are other trials that are of such a personal nature that they really are beyond human sympathy and love. Some experience desertion and loneliness that no other human, not even those you're closest to, can really sympathize with. Sometimes whenever you really stand for God, whenever you really choose to obey him wholeheartedly in some area, you will stand alone. You will have no one else standing with you. You will stand alone. Think of the three Hebrew children thrown into the fiery furnace. They had determined to stand alone for God, to refuse to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. They were thrown into the fire. What happened? They were alone, but there in the midst of the fire, Christ himself, the Son of God, manifested himself, appeared to them. And what strength that gave them to face that trial. There in the midst of the fire, standing alone for God, Christ himself manifested himself to them. In the trials of life, whenever Christ manifests himself to us, oh, how it comforts and supports us, how it enables us to face those difficulties, those trials that we don't really have any human sympathy for. But Christ, oh, when he manifests himself to us in those trials, oh, how it supports us, how it strengthens us, how it enables us to face those trials. Thirdly, on what condition does Christ manifest himself to us? Listen to what Christ says there in verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. An obedient walk, folks, is the condition to knowing this wonderful experience that Christ has promised to us. There is no substitute for an obedient walk with God. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, I will manifest myself to him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. One writer says, it is only when faith has issued in an obedience which halts not when the way is rough and dark, in an obedience that cheerfully bears the cross and shame, it is only then that this highest promise of the gospel is fulfilled, when love for the Savior shall lead us to an immediate, unreserved, unhesitating obedience, lead us to say in the spirit of entire self-surrender and sacrifice, thy will, not mine, be done. Then farewell to doubt and darkness, to loneliness and sorrow. Then shall we mourn no more an absent Lord. Then shall we walk as seeing him who is invisible, triumphant over every fear, victorious over every foe. Folks, do we long to know such an experience in our Christian life and walk with God? I trust that every child of God in this meeting this morning has that deep desire to know such a walk with God. Christ tells us here that he only manifests himself to those who are obedient, to those who really love him. And what is the proof that we really love Christ? Folks, it's in obedience to what he tells us to do. It's in submission to his will. It's not in sentimental, emotional expressions, but it's an absolute submission to him and to his will. Christ will not manifest himself to someone who is walking in disobedience. Bishop Jesse Ryle says that where the Holy Spirit is, there will always be a holy life, a jealous watchfulness over tempers, words, and deeds. This is the best proof that we love Christ. He that hath my commandments, Christ says, that is, has them in his heart, and keepeth them, that is, does them, obeys them, submits to them. Folks, are you obeying Christ? You know, we can know what Christ wants us to do, and most of us here have been brought up in Christian things, in Christian circles, and most of us here know. We know what Christ wants us to do, but are we doing what he wants us to do? Are we obeying his commands? Are we living a life of surrendered obedience to the will of God? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Folks, it's only then that we will know this blessed experience, this wonderful promise that Christ gave to us, which I feel the church is living so far below today. In fact, many of God's people know nothing of it. Folks, if we want it, if we desire it this morning, let us walk in obedience to him. You're here and you're not saved, as we close. If you'll ever know this wonderful experience, Christ being made a reality to you, then you need to come, faith and repentance to him. Look at what Judas said in verse 22 in the next verse. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? You see, this promise of Christ to manifest himself to us is only to the people of God. It's not to the unconverted. It's not to the world. If you're here and you're unconverted and you're not saved, the only manifestation of Christ that you're ever going to know, if you remain in your sin, is that day whenever he comes again, whenever we are told Christ will be revealed in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, if you're not saved, folks, that's the only manifestation of Christ that you're ever going to know. Know that you would be wise today. Know that you would turn to Christ. Turn from your sin, that thing that separates you from him. Turn from it, repent of it, turn to him in faith today. Come out of the world and become a child of God and know this blessed experience of Christ manifesting, revealing himself to you here in this life. And then one day with all the people of God, when all is said and done and life is over and it all comes to a close here in this world, we'll be in his immediate presence. To know him manifesting himself and his glory and his presence to us throughout the ages of all eternity. May God help us. May God write his truth upon all our hearts this morning. Let's close with 467, please. Number 467, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way while we do his good will. He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. 467, let's stand as we sing, please.